Okay, so your parents came in 1921?
No.
1922.
1923, I was married already. Because, yeah, I waited.
Oh, yeah.
We waited. Have you got a record?
Yeah.
So you see, we waited and waited, and then the law was easier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened there. So we waited. I was going to get married in August. I was going to get married in January. Then my husband said to me, well, how long will we wait? He's on here, I don't know. He says, I got my house, my own apartment. I had everything already, furnished, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I made myself a drapes and everything that I needed to. And then I got a gift for my, we went to, over to my brother, and we told him that we're going to get married. And that's going to be the time because we decided, and we went, my husband and I, that time we went to the restaurant that they call in front. It used to be a Milwaukee division, and they used to have in the back they used to have a hall, and we arranged the wedding ourselves, the catering, they used to cater, and we hired the musicians, and everything else, and I had what to wear. My husband's sister, she was the middle one, but I was white. I wore her dress, and my friend gave me her shoes. I borrowed it. She said, why have to spend money? You don't need it. And we wore the same size. So I wore her dress, and my friend, the one who was my bridesmaid, she made me the veil and everything on it. She bought the lace and everything. I paid for it. And she made the arrangement, and we arranged the wedding in that place, in that restaurant. So we decided we were going to get married. So we rented for May the 27th, 1923. And that's the day we got married, in the evening, you see. And before I got married, I had my house all furnished up. I had my own furniture we bought, my own drapes I made, everything. My husband gave me material, we had material, or I bought material, but everything I did was myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a wedding gift, I had a lot of wedding gifts for my friends. I had invited them all. And my brother and his wife, you know, he didn't have my folks. So my brother and his wife, they carried us to the canopy where the ceremony was. And my sister and her husband was like a maid of honor or something like that. And he was the best man my brother was. And my husband's sister and her husband, they were married a year before I did. So they were like ushers. And a friend of mine, not a friend of mine, they were ushers. So I had ushers. And my sister and her husband, they were like the best man and the bridesmaid. You know, the matron of honor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it happened.
Okay, now we're going to cut off here.
Okay? Yes,
we're
yes.
Not going to talk about
all right.
Your married life yet. And let's go back. And first of all, there's some points I want to clear up about your trip over here. And you said you had an agent.
Yes.
Now, how did people go about getting an agent?
They got that was everything arranged in the office from where they bought the passport tickets, whatever, when you get on the boat. In Jewish they call it ship passes, you know.
Ship.
Well, yeah, that you can arrange it. But when I crossed the border, I was not illegal. Because my brother was just 19 years old. And he was already a father. When I came, he was 20 years old. He had a child almost not quite a year old. My older brother, Harry. And my sister and I stayed with them until he built a house for himself. So my brother once stayed with me, and when I came to America, so he was a carpenter too, Meyer. So he was going around with some girls here and there, and then later on he decided he's going to get married. He met his wife, he fell in love with her, here and there, and they got married. And they lived in Philadelphia. That was my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see her until she was quite a big girl at that time.
The whole arranging with the agent, that was legal. Yeah, sure.
That was legal.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. How come you wanted to leave Russia?
Well, as far as Russia is concerned, for the Jewish people there was no future, you know. When we were little kids, when the Cossacks used to come in, we used to hide ourselves because they used to find special for the Jewish people. When we were little kids, every time we seen the Cossacks on horses, we used to hide ourselves.
Did they used to hurt you?
Yes, a lot. Not me. Us, they wouldn't touch because we never went outside. We always used to stay in the house.
All the kids had to stay in the house?
Yes, most of them were in the house. Unless, and the Cossacks come in, we used to stay away from them. Unless they were friends, they were all right, and if not, he's not, you know.
So you didn't get to play very much?
No. We played ourselves when we were kids, yeah.
But you always had to stay in the house?
Yeah, but I used to take a walk. They never bothered, but you could never trust them. Because the Tsar, I found out there was too many Jews, you know, they punish them, this and that. You know, the Jewish people weren't happy when the Tsar was alive, you know. But in 1917, I was here already in this country, when they had the revolution. That was the revolution in 1917. Till that time, United States was helping out. Woodrow Wilson was president. He tried not to get into war, but they pulled him in. See, and that's the time 1918 broke out. Then the war stopped 1918. But then there was the revolution and the communists came in. I wasn't there. I was here already. See?
Mm-hmm.
There was the Socialist Party, whatever you called it. I remember that. See? As young as I was, I remember that and everything. But they didn't bother us much, no.
Was your family very religious?
Well, my father was religious, yeah. They were kosher, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This and that. See, my mother's father was a butcher. You know, butchers are religious in our country. And my mother was religious. She'd go to synagogue. And we used to go visit him. And when I came, when I was here in America, and then my mother-in-law, she was religious. But she always ate in our house. She never, she herself was religious, you know. But if I was never religious. So I never had separate dishes for them. Neither my mother. When she came, she had her milk, you know, meat, and for the milk, anything that's milk is separate, and the meat, they call it fleisch. Fleisch is on one side, milk on the other. But my mother, she used to eat in my house. She didn't care. As long as you keep clean, that's all it is. That's the way I believe. As long as it's clean, as far as food is concerned, it's that I was never strict. At first I was, but I first came here, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Since my sister was Jewish, she liked to have
kosher.
Kosher, like a both, one side to meet, the other side. My older sister was, see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it was, you know. So my mother was not too fussy, but she used to, I used to take care of her when she was sick once, and when she was in the hospital, the doctors found out that she's diabetic, see?
Mm-hmm.
But that time they wouldn't give her a lot of insulin. She wouldn't take insulin. But she used to watch out what ever she ate. But she was diabetic. They didn't know that she had diabetes. They first found out later. And she had once pneumonia, and my brother took her to the hospital. My brother took care of her. My brother, you know, watched him, and he was very good to them. In fact, he was very nice to me, too. I have nothing against him. All the years I knew my brother, I was his favorite sister. All the time. I was his favorite sister. My children were his favorite nieces and nephews. That's how my son, Marvin, that lives now in River Forest, Illinois, he was raised in Chicago. He was only, when my mother died, he was only four years old. He remembered my mother. And she used to like him. His Jewish name is Moshe. He's named after my father-in-law, my husband's father. See, I was pregnant already. Then my father-in-law died. So when I had Marvin, he was the first one to carry his name. So in Jewish, he's Moshe. And in English, it's Marv. That was his name. That was my husband's father's name. See?
Back when you were in Russia still as a child, and you mentioned that you went to Hebrew school.
Yes, I did. I learned how to read the Hebrew, and then I had a Jewish teacher taught me how to write Jewish.
When you went to Hebrew school, was it just to learn to read and write?
Yes, to read and write, and then we used to translate the what they call the book. I used to translate from Hebrew to Jewish. I remember that, but now I don't remember anything.
But it wasn't for any kind of religious training?
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, that time, the old country, they used to send the children, whoever wanted to go, to Hebrew. My sister didn't care much, but she learned how to write Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She learned when she was young, too. You know, they have special teachers. They teach you how to write. You know, like ABC, in Jewish is Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, something like that. It's the same thing like you say in English. ABC, D, E, F, I, G, H, whatever it is, comes next to that. See? So that's the same thing. It's a difference. I have a book when my sister was visiting me in 1968. My daughter, Shirley, brought her out here, and she got a visa, and she stayed with me. She was here 4 months. The first thing she was here about a month and a half. So when I came to here, I brought her here. I already had heart trouble then. So she kind of got scared when she saw me in the wheelchair. That's it. I got my first heart attack in 1966. She never knew that, because I never heard from her. But when I heard from her, I didn't say nothing. When she saw me in the wheelchair, she says, "What's the matter, Molly?" I said, "No, nothing." I said, "Nothing, nothing." I said, "Don't get scared." And I walked out, and I was walking around, you know. But I already had heart trouble. I got my first attack in 1966.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were jumping ahead.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about your childhood in Russia still. And you had brothers and sisters. Was there different expectations for the males as to the females?
Well, my older brother was born first, Harry. My sister Fanny was born second. My brother Meyer was born third. In Jewish, his name is Meyer, but it's Meyer. And my name is Masha, so they named me Molly. I was the fourth one. So we were four of us, and we didn't hear from them all. And I first came in 1913. See, my sister arrived ahead of me.
When you were in Russia.
Oh, in Russia, yes.
Yeah. And I know about your brothers and sisters.
Well, my sister was, she went to school, she graduated Russian school. you know, like here they graduate, and she was got a scholarship to go to high school. In Russian they call it gymnasia. But my father couldn't afford it to send her to a different city. So she went and she learned to be a sewing, dressmaking. And while she was going to school, she was learning how to sew anyway. She was the oldest from the girls. And my brother Maya, when he was able to help my father, he used to help my father. And he learned the trade to be a carpenter, you know. And he went to cheder when he was young, you know, in Hebrew school. Yeah. And then, after my year, I was born. And I, when I was young, believed in a place, which we played around with kids outside in the winter. Sometimes I used to run out barefooted in the winter in the snow even. That's how we were never afraid of snow, see? And then the region had no heating like all around. So we used to have a big, they call it, I don't know, how should I explain to you? And then we used to lay down, the oven used to be made from bricks. And whenever you cooked, so on the top of the oven used to be an opening. So if we was cold, we used to go up in the oven on the top. And we used to keep ourselves warm. We dressed warm in the winter here and there. And we used to wear sometimes different kind of boots. I don't know how they call it in English. In Russian they call it voliches. That means it's made out of soft, not leather, but what do you call it? Soft kind of material. You go in the snow. You know who wears those kind of things? The Eskimos sometimes wear them. See, that keeps you warm, your feet.
What kind of clothing? Did you always have to wear dresses as a girl?
Yes, I wear dresses, I wear a skirt and a blouse, all around. When you have time, I'll show you. I got a picture that was taken before my sister left for Russia. See, I was a kind of matured girl for my age. Yeah. My mother was kind of heavy woman all the time, you know, having 12 children, you know. All right, the youngest one was born. It took about 4 years. So she thought she'd never have any babies. Maybe that's a change of life baby. That was my last sister. Her name is Sylvia. She lives now in Chicago. But when she came to this country, I didn't know her. When I left Europe, she was just a little girl like that. She was born sometimes in March. April, May, in June I had been gone away, and I came here in July, in Chicago.
So, did you have 12 brothers and sisters when you left? Were all your brothers and sisters born?
No, my older brother was already in America, my older sister was in America.
No.
In Chicago.
But how many kids were there in the whole family when you
were? And I left all 12 of us, but were born only in Russia. Everyone, each and every one was born in Russia. Yes.
So did you help in the house?
Yes, I used to help my mother. I used to help cook. But the bread I used to make, when I was youngest, I used to roll up my sleeves and clean up what, and I used to make the rye bread. I used to bake my own bread, big loaves. Because an oven, it was made out of bricks, mm-hmm. and you heat it up with wood. Then you take your flour and you put in there. When you see that the flour gets to a little, you know, warm, then we used to take the bread. And the night before, I used to mix up 20 pounds of flour, and then the next day I used to mix it up another 20 pounds. It used to be 40 pounds. In Jewish, they call it a pud. It means 40 pounds. I don't know how it's called in English. And then I used to, fix it up, and then the bread used to raise up, and I take a big loaf of dough, and I had a big thing made out of wood, like a shovel, and I used to put it in. Then I used to He, whenever it was ready, I used to take it off. We used to bake our own bread all the time.
Did you have any other household tasks that you did?
Well, I used to help my mother cook. Yeah. And then I used to watch the younger children in this and that. And my mother, when there was a, used to be a market, whatever you sell. So she used to help my father sell, and that was all. I used to make potato pancakes. All the French people, they worked for my father. They said, how about potato latkes, you know? And she was, I said, sure, why not? Took the potato and I cleaned it up and I scraped it, mixed it up with flour and so on. I used to make a batch of potato pancakes that we had people, they used to eat by us. We used to feed them, see? And my father used to pay him, I don't know how much, but he used to pay him so much every week. And they'd sleep, sometimes they'd sleep where the workers used to work. They had like a tables, some used to go home and sleep, and then they'd come the next day and work. And my mother used to cook and make whatever she had, and they would sit down and eat. And some of them would go home and eat, you know. They would leave at the same time. Yeah.
So basically, did the girls help out with the mother and the boys help with the father?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My older sister was a big help to us. She says, Molly, if you want to go to school, she says, I'll show you how to do your homework and everything. So she did, but I don't know, I never paid any attention for education. I don't know why. So I went for 2 years. I had one more year to go and I quit.
Well, what was your ambition as a child? What did you want to do?
I don't know. I was playing all around.
You wanted to play?
Playing, the boys and the girls could get together, we'd play and sing and get together, sleigh riding and all that stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
But my father used to see we didn't have ice skates like you have here, but the water. The lake used to freeze in the winter time. And then when you had to have water to drink, you used to knock out a hole and take the bucket and carry up water. And then you put it in a big barrel and strain it through, then cover it up. You always used to keep the water in on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Not if it freeze, but we'd keep it in the kitchen on the side. And we used to strain the water because we didn't have no running water. See, we didn't have no bathroom like you do here. We had everything outside. And then the men used to come and put some stuff in whatever they dissolve it or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how they used to be. But I guess more now they're more mother. I don't know how they are now. They have now, I think, more mother. You know, forcing water and everything. But in my time, there was no forcing water. The only forcing water there was sometimes, well, the rich people used to have it, you know. But the people that weren't too rich didn't care. They lived like that, you know. So on, that's how we did. And we struggled along. Sometimes I was there. The clothes used to be too small of my sister. I used to put it on. I wasn't fussy. As long as I had what to wear. The only time when it came a holiday, my mother used to go out and make something for us. You know, she and my father had four brothers in Leningrad now. It used to be Petersburg. They were living there. One of them was very rich. So he used to send us a lot of clothes. You know, but we had 12 children in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't particular. As long as we had something to wear, we wore it. So
your mother she never had time to work besides in the house? She was always...
Yeah, she helped my father when there was a... She used to do the shopping, and she used to buy material. She used to make us... No, not a sewing machine, but by hand a lot of times, do this and do that. And then I, was learning how to do sewing. I learned myself a little bit too when I was a youngster. See? And that's how we got along, struggled along. Yeah.
Were you pretty close family then, since you all had to live together?
Oh, yes. My father was, he was kind of strictly, but he wanted my brother, my older brother, I know, he started to go with his girl, and then he decided when he was, he didn't want to tell my father and mother right away that he used to correspond with my uncle in Chicago, in Jewish letters writing. And then my uncle sent him a ticket, and he went away to America. But before he went to America, he signed up like they're engaged with my sister-in-law. She was born in the same town he was born, you know. Yeah. And I knew her. I knew her when I was a kid, yes.
What was the average age for people to get married then?
It doesn't matter. If you strike right away, sometimes they get married when they're 18, 19, 20 years old. That all depends. But my brother left Russia when he was 17, July 18, he was 17 years old. And then he went to America right after the Jewish holidays. You know, when it comes like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, around there. And he already was engaged to his wife, you know. And then he came to America, and he lived in Chicago. And then he found out my mother had a sister, a nephew to my mother. He found him out. He lived in Newark, New Jersey. He found him out. I forgot what his name was. And then he found out in New York my uncle. I think in Jewish he was Levi. He found him, and he found his family, his wife, my uncle then. And I got a son of his lives here. His name is Abram. He carried the same name as my father. But I knew him back when I was in Chicago. I didn't know him when I was in Yorktown, because when my uncle left, I was a child. And then as I went along, he grew up and older. They moved to Chicago, and they were going to be living in Chicago. Then they decided not to live in Chicago. But my cousin and my younger brother, Alex, his name is Elio, El. So, and he's called himself El too, Kaplan, and his name was Kaplan. So they went to one school in Chicago, on Iowa Street. Chopin School, they call it. It's like a great school. That's one of my brothers, Al. Yeah. And he made the school, he made it in 2.5 years, 8 grades, because he graduated Russian school in Russia, because he, all the time, he was going to school there. So he made school pretty good. In 2.5 years, he finished school. Then he went into high school. When he came out here, he was a youngster, you know. And I registered him in school, him and my sister. And I registered him in first grade, but in 2.5 years he made 8 grades. He was educated very well, my brother Al.
So, okay, Harry's your oldest brother.
Yeah.
Then's Fanny.
Yeah.
Then's Meyer.
Yeah.
Then was you.
Yeah.
Okay, then who?
After me,
uh-huh.
It came, after me was Sonia, no, Anna. In English, is Anna. That's the one who's in Russia now. Anna. No, after me was a brother, Mote. He's older than I am. Ahead of her is Mote. And after me came my brother, Mote. And then Anna. After Anna came Jack. Yeah.
Jack,
yeah. He lives in Chicago. He's there now. Jack. After Jack came Sonia. After Sonia, I had a sister, Vera. She's passed away too. After Vera, I had a brother, Jaime. Jaime, he's now in Chicago, Jaime. And his Jewish name was Chaim. He was named after my grandfather. That was my father's father, mother. My mother's father, Chaim. And after Chaim, then Chaim, then Jack, I think. I forgot already. And then Jack. That's right. Jack came after Jaime. Jaime was older than Jack, I think. I don't remember. He said, but anyway, then my brother, Jaime, that's right, Jack was younger than Jaime. So Jack.
Okay, there's two.
Yeah, and then came Alec. After Alex, then my brother went to America. Alex was just 1 year old. He was born in 1909. My brother left 1910. And I left. Before I left, in 1913, my sister Sylvie was born. So there was a difference between Alex and Sylvie, almost 4 years. Because Victor said my mother wasn't going to have any more baby. But that's what I thought, that they call it a change of life baby. And my mother, when she came over here to this country, she was only... When I left Europe, I think my mother was in her early 40s, either 41 or 40. Something like that. But she had, all the other children were born between a year and a half, year and 3 months, you know. All step, yeah. And then in 1913, my sister Sylvie was born. It's in March, I know it's March. In Jewish, it was, there's a Jewish holiday before Easter, they call it Purim. I don't know if you know what I mean. I think Purim, yeah. Are you Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh, then you should know, Purim. She was born around that time, too. And that was in March, in April and May. In June, we left, I think in the, if I'm not mistaken, it was by the end of June, or the middle part of June. Meyer and I, we went to America. You understand? That's the whole situation.
Okay.
Anything else you want to know after that?
When you were in Russia, like as a child, did you like live out in the country and
no, well, we lived in a small town. Well, it wasn't so small, it wasn't big, but it was close. We had a few
neighbors.
Yeah, there were neighbors in the houses. Most of the houses were made out of logs. Some of the richer people were using bricks. The last time, I think, the last house before I went away, I think was a brick house. We rented a house. We didn't own our own home yet that time. See? And we kept on moving here and there. Always near the water. Always around the water. See, our city was like all around. And then it was water in all around. And if we had to go across the next village, we had to use a boat. In the winter time, we used a horse and buggy go on the water, because the water freezes real pathetic, you know. And they, like fridges there, nobody had a fridge there, but they used to build a thing they used to dig in and fill it up with ice for the winter, like a storage. And then they'd cover up with wood, and every time the snow came out, they'd scrap off. And we had feed it in the winter time. In the summertime we didn't have. Yeah, we used to buy ice and put it in there, cover up. So the ice wouldn't melt because it was in the ground. See? Yeah. That's what it was. That's how we lived all the time.
There were all these kids and
Yes.
And
we did. My mother and kids used to sleep on barn. We used to take 3-4 chairs and put boards on and put the pillows and lay down, cover up whatever I could, and this and that. My mother used to make their blankets for everything, you know. And my father and mother, they had a separate bedroom for themselves. And we kids, sometimes we slept on the floor, sometimes we slept on the top of the stove. It was warm and it was real cold outside. We used to get up on the oven and sleep on the top there, too. And then we had a woman, she used to come and pick up the laundry and wash out and bring it back clean. And she'd come and clean up the house and wash up the floors, this and that, you know. Like poor people, you know. People aren't rich.
How did you have a woman come and do your laundry?
Well, she gave her a few dollars, something, you know, pay her. My father, if he had something to give away, he'd give it to her. And she'd come over and bring the... A lot of times she'd come and fill up the barrel with water, strain it, you know, like we had, like cheesecloth. And strain the water, real strain the water. See? That's what they used to do.
Okay, that would be sufficient for today.
Okay, and then anytime you want to know something more, I'll bring
okay,
in.
And maybe,
Then you can wind up yourself how, what, and when, you know. Okay. Whatever comes to me, I remember. I can indeed, because I've been away from the Yukon to give me a drink. I was about 14 years. A little old, when I came here. I was born in 1898. I had to make the papers for 1898. I was a communist.
Well, 1898 wasn't your real birthday?
Yeah, it was 1899 or something like that. And my father went to the city hall and told him to make the best they could. Because we were born close to each other. Sometimes I hear in 3 months, sometimes I hear in my head. You know, don't come to the beach. You know what my father is? Are you close? And you know what my father used to say? The more children you have, the more God sends you help and living. You understand? That's what he did. Yeah. My father and mother got along very, very good. And that's how the children get along nicely, too, everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, whatever it comes to me, I remember. I can't recall. But one thing I remember, when my father's brother came in, and like I told you, when he was escaping to get into military service, so... My mother packed him in some food and this and that and said, forgive him to hate, go. Gay. That's all I remember. That was my father's brother. That's his younger brother. He used to have a sister. I think she's dead. Oh, yeah. And I was by my aunt for a while, too. My father's sister used to live about 20 miles away. You know, in American, it's miles. Used to be away. I used to stay there for a while. And her husband, I don't know. He was all right in a way, but I didn't have no trust in him. He used to fool around a lot, and I didn't like that. So my auntie used to watch me. Oh, yeah. She said, if I'll catch you touching Maui, you know, in Jesus, my name is Bunimashi. She said, I'll let you have it. Oh, yeah. That was my father's, she's one of my father's sisters. My father had Perke and Leye. The Muma Leye, she used to live in Leningrad. That time was Petersburg, the Russians. After the revolution, they named it Leningrad. Then it was Stalingrad. Then Stalingrad. I remember Lenin when I was here in Chicago. I remember his pictures and everything. I have no use for the comments. Believe me, I don't. And my sister was she was supposed to come with my folks, but she was married already. She was pregnant, and she didn't tell my father. So when he got the tickets for her, so then he came back. He brought her ticket, so my brother had to cash her in.
Was she the only one who didn't come?
No, my brother older than I am. My sister is right after him, Morte. I think I gave her the name Morte. And then Anna. Her name is Yiddish. It's in Yechanker.
None of those came over to America?
My brother, my sister was here for on a visa. I think I told him. My daughter Shirley brought her out. She wrote to her. Somehow she got a visa and she came. Just the time she found me when I was waiting at the airport, and she sent me a picture. She wore a black suit, and I'll show you the picture I got. And how she, so I said, Delcy Nechamke, and I haven't seen her from 1913 till when she came in 1968. See, I left Georgia in 1913, and I was a young girl. You know, I was very mature. I'll show you. Are you through?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to show you the picture.